everybody out this morning. It's always a wonderful encouragement to be able to come to here, be here, to be with brothers and sisters in Christ, to come and study God's Word as we have the opportunity to do so. We certainly hope that everybody has been uplifted so far as we've gone throughout our service. We're happy to have visitors with us. We are encouraged by your presence, and we ask that you come and be with us again if you have the opportunity to do so. Ask that maybe if you have the opportunity, maybe stick around so we can get to know you a little bit. I always want to encourage everybody to open up their Bibles. We go throughout the lesson that you see that the Word of God is being used. That is what we teach from. That we don't go beyond it. And if you feel that something has been added to or taken out of the Scriptures, that you bring it to my attention, we'll study it. If I see the truth is being used or the Word of God is being used wrong, that I can correct those things, that I can make sure that I am teaching in truth. So we always encourage that. Now I want to start off encouraging you to open Matthew 5. Start our lesson off this morning in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and start in verse 13. Matthew 5 and start in verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lampstand and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We read the words of our Lord here as he speaks to his disciples. He speaks to those who have gathered together to hear what he has to say. And he says, we are to be the light of this world. And we're supposed to be setting an example for everybody who sees us as we continue to live a life upon this earth. That we are the salt of the earth. And we're supposed to give it flavor. We're supposed to shine into this world. It also brings out those questions of what good? What good is it to have a light, to have the light of Christ and to know what it is and to have it come inside of you, and then it does not shine? Again, what would be the point of having these lights in this building if we did not use them, we did not turn them on, or if we did turn them on and then we covered them up? It would still be dark in this room. We would not be able to read as well through our Scriptures because it'd be dark. We could not see as well. What I want to talk about this morning, the title of the lesson is, if the congregation disappeared, would anyone notice? If the church disappeared, would anyone notice? Because we are the light of the world. I saw this actually brought up as I was doing some stuff, research, looking into things on the computer, and this was just one of those things that popped up to the side of my computer. It just said, if the congregation disappeared, it's trying to bring me to another site or something. But I just read that, and I'm like, that's a good point. Good question that we can ask. Just a simple, good question that we can ask. If the church, if this congregation, if the West Side Church of Christ disappeared, would that influence anybody? Would that hurt anybody? We are inside of a community. We are inside this area of Owensboro, Kentucky. Of course, when we talk about a congregation, we talk about the church, we have to understand we are talking about ourselves. We're talking about the people, the congregation. Because we make up the church. But we need to know that there are local congregations. And if the church disappeared, if the church stopped meeting, we closed the doors, we no longer came together, would that make a difference to the world, to the community? We see throughout the Word of God that there are congregations. We have letters to congregations, right? To the church in Corinth, to the church in Ephesus, to the church in Thessalonica, to those who are in Rome and Galatia and Philippi. We read and we go through these books and these letters that Paul had wrote to these churches, to these congregations, writing about different needs and different points because each congregation is a little different. Each person is dealt a little differently, and each person has different temptations, different things that they're going through.
And so they're not all directly the same, but they all point to God. They all point to Christ. They all point to being faithful to our Lord.
We can even open up to Revelation and go through there at the beginning in the first three chapters through the seven churches of Asia. We see that there are local congregations throughout the Word of God. And we bring out, as we could study about Paul writes and points out to their good works and good deeds that they continue in. But then he also points out to the things that they need to fix, things they need to straighten up in, things they need to get rid of in their lives. And then the things they need to add to in their lives as they continue to serve God. We bring out the question of what would our letter look like? Would we be encouraged by what we read? Would we be encouraged as we go throughout these scriptures? Paul could write a letter. Would you be scared to receive a letter from the Apostle Paul? Again, knowing that we're going to face judgment one day, that we are going to stand before our Lord and Savior one day. Do we fear what he will have to say to us? We will hear what he has to say. We will hear whether or not he is saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into thy kingdom, or depart from me, I never knew." Again, there may be more words back and forth, I'm not sure. But we will stand before our Lord and be judged. Are we prepared for that day? Again, the congregation is made up out of the people. If you turn along with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be spending the majority of the lesson here in 1 Corinthians 12. As it speaks about how we each have our part inside of the congregation. And so when we consider that, when we consider that each person has a part in the work of the Lord, in the body of Christ, and we ask that question, if the church disappeared, and when we're saying that, if you disappeared, if you stopped coming, would people notice? If I stopped coming, would people notice? Would it make an impact? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, "For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Go ahead and stop there for a second. As it brings out here, it's going through. There is one body. Only one. There's only one church is what it's bringing out here. One church. The body of Christ. There's many congregations that we read about. Again, we just talked about them on the last point. Yeah, the church in Thessalonica, the churches in Corinth, church in Galatia, church in Philippi. So you have many congregations. But there's only one head, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one body. Each congregation is part of the body of Christ. And of course, we are all members of that body. As we consider that we are members of that body, we continue to read here in verse 14. "For in fact, the body is not one member but many. It is, if the foot should say, 'Because I am of the hand, I am not of the body,' is therefore not the body?" Is it therefore not the body? "And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smell? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as he is pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body in which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor,
and our unpresentable parts have greater might. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles and gifts and healings, helping, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Again, we read similar in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. He had given some to be apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all for the edifying and equipping of the brethren in Christ, of the saints. We each make up the church. As it's bringing out here, there's different roles that need to be taken care of. Not everybody is a song leader, but song leaders are needed. Not everybody's the preacher, but a preacher is needed. Not everybody's a phone pickup, call and dial and talk and check in on people, person, but they are needed. Not everybody's the card writer. Not everybody is the social media person, the person who's able to get out there social media-wise. Not everybody's a doorknob. Not everybody's a visitor. Not everybody's someone who likes to have people in their homes. But each part is needed within the church. Because as we open up our Bibles and we study, we see that we should be there for one another. That we are to be that shining light into this world. That we are to be hospitable towards one another. To do good unto all, especially the household of saints. If we read in Galatians 6 and verse 10. And so, I want to ask that question of, which one are you? Which are you? We're not apostles today because we weren't there and we did not witness the life of Christ as we see in Acts chapter 1 and 2 as they are selecting the apostles there in Acts 1, someone to fill in to Judas's place, and they give requirements. None of us meet those requirements. We were not there from the beginning of time that he was baptized to the time he died and was resurrected. We are not prophets. As we can read here in 1 Corinthians and go into chapter 13 and talk about how the gifts of miracles shall come to an end. But are we teachers? Are you the preacher? Are you an evangelist? Are you a visitor? One who goes and visits others? What part do you have in the service of God? Because again, as we can sit here and ask about whether the community would miss this local congregation. Because we should be out there setting an example to one another. We should be shining a light to that point that people ask about our faith. That's why it tells us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. To be ready to give an answer, to defend your faith when people ask the question. Because if we stand out because of our love, because of our hospitality, because of our kindness, because we don't allow anger to control our lives, we are angry and do not sin, we don't talk bad about people, we don't talk behind each other's backs, they can tell you're different, that you have been called out of this world, that you do something different than everyone else does in this world. Why is that? You open up your Bible and you show them, you answer it, you say, I'm a member of the Lord's church. I attend over here at the Westside Church of Christ. But better yet, we can get down more personal than just the local community. Would the congregation here, would your brothers and sisters in Christ notice if you were gone? Because we are the body. We make up the body. And understand, I know everybody can relate to the point that when one part of your body gets injured, then you start reacting to it, and the other parts of your body start trying to make the extra work to be done, to take care of that side, or you hurt one side of your body, so you're leaning more on this one, and it gets a little more worn out and tired, you might end up injuring something else there. So we react that way, and as a congregation, if you're not here because you're a member, you're an individual part of this body of Christ, do we start to hurt when you're not here? Do we notice when you're gone? There's two sides to that. There's the side that we ourselves individually need to start stepping up. If we can answer no, I don't think they would notice. That we individually have to make sure we're doing our part in the service of God. That we're doing our part in stepping up and going and sowing the seed as God has commanded us to do. And whatever talent that He's blessed us with. And I know as we can go to the parable of talents, and it's talking about money there. And we use talent differently today. But if we apply that to the talent today. Whatever God has blessed you with. Whatever gift He's given you to use. Do you use it? Do you go forth? He may have only given you the one, right? He gave some 1 5, he gave another 2, and one of them 1. And whatever He's blessed you with, the ability to do, that you are comfortable in, that you are strong in, that you're good at doing. But yet you don't do it. You hold back. You don't try to add to those gifts as we see in that parable. The one who had 5, he added to his and gained 10. The one who had 2 gained 4. And the Lord blessed him. But the one who had 1 did nothing with what he had. He simply hid it. He was punished when the master came back. See, as a congregation, we have to be doing our part to help the work grow here. But as brought out, there's the second side to that, that we, as a congregation, need to be looking at all our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be going and getting to know our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we see and feel maybe that our brothers and sisters might be lacking, we need to do our part to encourage them. We need to do our part to reach out to them, to help them to grow. Because again, we go to that Ephesians 4. You go, and I know I didn't turn to it, but I pointed to it up on the PowerPoint there. Ephesians 4, you read there in verse 11. It says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine by trickery of men and cunning and craftiness and deceitful plotting." Why is there so many different aspects in the church, so many different parts in the body of Christ, in the body that we have today? So that each part can do its part, and each thing can help it grow and get stronger. We're supposed to be there for each other. And we can't sit here as we read through 1 Corinthians 12 and have one part over here and say, you know, I can't stand up here and say, just because I'm the preacher, I have no need of the rest of the people. I have no one to preach to, then it does no good, right? No good to be a teacher and not have anyone to teach. Hard to be hospitable and not be able to visit or have anyone over into your house. It's hard to call and check up on somebody if you don't know them, if you don't know if they need checked up on, how they're doing health-wise, spiritually, physically. We're supposed to be there for each other. We're supposed to be able to rely on one another. We can turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5
and you read verse 14, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Here it says, call on the leaders of the congregation so that they can come and pray for you. Verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That we trust each other, that we come to one another. Again, we ask that question of will others notice when you're gone? Not necessarily that you died. If you've fallen away from the church and stopped coming, or maybe if you simply you're moving, going to another place. Will we notice the hole that has been made in the congregation? Not just an empty pew, but the work that you do. We need to be there for each other. And again, part of our job is to make sure that we're helping each other get to that point. Help each other with what we're good at so that they can also be doing it. You look at the example of the Apostle Paul. Again, he continued to teach others. He taught Timothy. He trained Titus, Philemon. He raised them and pointed them in the right direction. He continued to show them spiritually where they should be going. Even if they already had the faith, they were already Christians, they were already doing so much, he taught them more to the point of calling them children of faith. My son in faith. Because there's going to be a time that Paul can't preach no more. That Paul's not the one that's going to be going from congregation to congregation, writing letter from letter to letter. There comes a time and point that he's not going to be the one doing it. So we have to be willing to step up. Would it be noticed if you were not? It should. When you sit back and you can ask yourself that question is, would you notice if your brethren were gone? And would I be noticed if I was gone? What part are you doing in the service of God? There are many hymns in our hymn book that go forth and talk about being workers of the Lord. I want to be a worker to the work. We need to be doing our part. The world's Bible. We should be shining a light. We should be helping others. We should be uplifting each other as we point to the Lord continuously. I don't want to leave without extending the invitation. The Lord is looking for more of those who'd be willing to work for Him. Those who are willing to serve in His kingdom. So we don't leave without extending the Lord's invitation to any who's heard the Word of God, as we're told to do in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And upon hearing that word, you must believe, because we know in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it tells us without faith, it is impossible to please our God. Without faith, you cannot. You cannot please our wills. But upon your faith, you're willing to confess that faith. You're willing to repent of your sins. We see the confession made by the eunuch that he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're told to repent in Acts 2, verse 38. As Peter is preaching to thousands of people, they ask, what shall I do? And his answer is, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Have you been baptized? As we read there in 1 Corinthians, that's how you enter into the body of Christ. That's how you become a member here. A member of the Lord's church. Through baptism, as God washes your sins away. There's work that He is more than willing to have you come and do. There's something we can all do to help further His kingdom. We need to do our part because He's commanded us to do so. Otherwise, again, we go back to what we started with in Matthew. What good are you? But to be thrown out, trampled underfoot. So if you're here and you need to praise the congregation because you haven't been doing your part, You need strengthened up by your brothers and sisters in Christ, or if you desire to join the work of the Lord, we encourage you to let it be known as we stand and sing.